Part 1, Secret Friendships.
It was around the clock for all that time. For us, I mean, we had to ignore friends and family.
Not great for the personal life.
Well, since my wife was my closest partner, that helped.
Our first expert witness, Tyre Rod Larson, one half of the husband and wife team which brokered a historic agreement between the Israelis and Palestinians. It all began in the early 90s. The two sides were locked in conflict, with the latest round of talks going on in Washington.
You had some 150-60 negotiators on each side that lived in different hotels.
So they were very public, very impersonal, very formal affairs.
Yeah, the Washington talks couldn't go anywhere.
He was right, they failed. Back then, Tyre Rod Larson was a sociologist who'd spent time in Israel and the Palestinian territories. His wife worked at the Norwegian Foreign Ministry, and together they pitched an idea.
So we thought to do basically the opposite of what was happening in Washington.
Rather than public and formal, their talks would be intimate and, more importantly, secret. They knew negotiations wouldn't get anywhere unless they included the Palestinian Liberation Organization, a group which had support amongst Palestinians, but were described by Israel as terrorists.
This was talking to a mortal enemy, completely unheard of. So this could have totally destructive effects politically on both sides.
No one outside a small circle could know about these talks, so they had to find somewhere remote. In Norway, that wasn't too hard.
Through a friend of mine, we borrowed a manor a few miles outside Oslo, which was completely isolated, where we put the parties, and we insisted it should be maximum five, preferably three people on each side.
And so one morning in January 1993, the delegates arrived, two from Israel and two from the Palestinian territories. Tyre Rod Larson welcomed them and they sat down to eat.
After we had had a meal and drinks and everything, I pointed to a door and said, "This is the room where you're going to negotiate." So they walked in and they turned to me and said, "Are you not coming?" I said, no, I will only go in that room if you get into a fist fight.
The delegates were now on their own. With decades of conflict to work through, they walked into a small room in the Norwegian country house and got to work.
The first meeting was very, very awkward. So what we did was that we organized breakfasts, lunches, dinners, walks, etc., so that these people should get to know each other.
And did they open up?
The simple answer is they became friends. So actually, at some stage, they brought their families.
They brought their families?
Yeah, because what we did believe that we had to produce friendships between everybody and also between ourselves. So we became a very close-knit group of friends.
Two of the men even discovered their daughters shared the same name.
This can sound silly, but in a way, that was an important, small, decisive element in the bonding exercise.
And the kind of detail you probably wouldn't find out at a big formal conference.
Yeah, and this was precisely the idea. Friendships you can't build between institutions. You have to build it between personalities.
Over the next 3 months, the men spent hours together, going for long walks in the countryside and drafting documents late into the night. Until one evening, when they sat with the Israeli foreign minister and called the head of the PLO.
And then in the wee early morning hours, there actually was an agreement. And I could hear sobbing. And then I was told afterwards that the whole leadership of the PLO was sitting crying over the table.
A few months later, the Israeli and Palestinian leaders shook hands. This was history in the making. It was the first time Israel and the PLO had formally recognised one another.
This was completely amazing to us, that tiny little Norwegian team to resolve what was considered at the time probably the most difficult international conflict on the globe.